This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, State Representative Sean McCann, the Democratic nominee for State Senate in the district which includes Kalamazoo County. But first, Judy Wicks is known as a leader in the local food and environmental stewardship movements. She will speak on Thursday in Sangren Hall at Western Michigan University. Wicks' visit is sponsored by Western's Office for Sustainability. Her address is called Building a New Economy. What's Love Got to Do with It? Judy Wicks, thank you very much for being with us.
Sure, glad to be here.
Let's take our listeners back a little bit and talk about how you got involved in the idea of sustainability in terms of also things like local food. Where are the origins for you in those things?
Well, I guess you could go back to my childhood, in a sense, and then I grew up in a small town where I saw the role of small business people in community life. And I also had a family that was very interested in healthy local food. My parents had a large vegetable garden, and so we ate from that garden, and my mother also preserved foods for the winter. And so I grew up in that kind of household of appreciating fresh local food, as well as small business and in our community life.
And the benefit of local food, is it health? Is it economy? Is it a combination of those things?
Oh, definitely a combination. When food is shipped long distance, it's bred for shelf life and for uniformity of size and shape for packing, whether it's tomatoes or peaches or whatever. And that process of breeding for shelf life breeds out a lot of the nutritional value as well as the taste. And so that's why when we taste these tomatoes or peaches or whatever that's out of season, that's shipped long distance, it tastes like cardboard, you know, because it's the important thing to the producer is that it make it to the shelves and, on the other side of the country or the other side of the world or whatever. So A, it is more healthy for us to eat food that's raised locally and, of course, organically without pesticides. And then it's also an economic issue because we've really lost, we as people living in communities around the world really have, in many cases, lost our self-reliance in food, that we depend on large multinational corporations to be shipping us food long distance. So we've really lost self-reliance in our basic needs all the way around, not only food, but energy and clothing and building materials, all the things we most need to live are, for the most part, shipped long distance. So that's an important part of my work to show the urgency, really, with climate change upon us, that we build communities that are self-reliant in basic needs. And then we trade, you know, with other communities and have global trade so that we are able to exchange what we might have in excess for what we don't have locally, whether it's bananas or coffee or whatever. And then we also export what's unique to our own community, what our local entrepreneurs have invented, a special fashion, a wine, a cheese, a unique invention of some sort. So it's not about just local. It's about having our self-reliance on basic needs locally, but then trading globally and many other things, all the things that are unique about what it is to be human, are the creative inventions and specialties that come from another culture are a great treat to be traded, but something that we don't have to in order to stay alive.
So can a company be environmentally friendly, support local food and the local economy, pay a living wage, which your companies have been credited for, and still at the end of the day be profitable?
Well, that's how that was what I was a model in a sense. I think that's why the White Dog became famous. Not only did we have great food and a great atmosphere and lots of activities that drew people to our business, but we stood for something in the business world of being a company that could do well by doing good. And of course, there's many other companies that do that as well. We're not totally unique, but we did demonstrate that we could, you know, buy local organic food, pay a living wage, sign up, you know, for 100% renewable energy, you know, do all these environmental practices like solar hot water, composting, recycling, and so on, and make a profit at the end of the day. And I do actually think that and I think larger companies, many companies are recognizing that. Operating in harmony with nature is the most efficient way you can operate and is the most economical, and that you can be more profitable If you take the time to invest in practices that are aligned with natural systems. And, you know, as a civilization, we either do that or we perish. And I think, you know, we've gotten into our heads that man is so smart, that man is smarter than nature, and we don't need nature, and we can create inventions and have technology that makes nature unnecessary. And that's a total pipe dream. So the more we as businesses can model this concept of working in harmony with natural systems, the more likely we are to evolve as a civilization rather than to die out.
Let's step back a bit. You mentioned the White Dog Cafe. Explain a little bit about how that got started and what it grew into over time in Philadelphia.
Well, it started on the first floor of my house in 1983. I started a muffin and coffee takeout shop. We didn't even have tables and chairs at the time, and gradually grew the White Dog into a $5 million business by expanding into a couple more houses on our street of Victorian brownstone houses in West Philadelphia near the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. And, you know, I slowly grew it to the a size of 200 seats. And then next door, we had a gift shop that sold locally made products. And the White Dog became kind of a hub board discussion on progressive issues. We would have table talks or dinner or breakfast on the issues of the day, whether they be environmental or foreign policy or public education or local arts and culture. We did neighborhood tours, solar tours, tours to go out to farms, affordable housing tours, you know, many different subjects. And we also had an international program where we did tours internationally to show our customers and staff how U.S. foreign policy affected the lives of people in different countries. So we would go to those countries that were at odds with the U.S. government, you know, anywhere from, you know, Cuba and Vietnam to the Soviet Union, or to hotspots where the U.S. was funding a civil war, such as in Nicaragua or El Salvador. So we really were an educational institution in a sense, as well as a business that served, you know, wonderful food and had great service. So that's how we became known as really a model for environmental stewardship, a model for community engagement, and also for having a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun events as well.
Does a business which does do the things which you've mentioned there of paying a living wage, of supporting other local businesses and being environmentally sustainable, does that require finding a customer who's willing to pay a little bit more for all of that?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, we were not any more expensive than other restaurants of our caliber. We weren't a student burger joint, even though we were on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. We did have a bar and grill menu that was less expensive, that did in fact have burgers and fries, but they were grass-fed burgers, and you know, we had organic salads and that kind of thing as well. So we really served a range of customers, from the students and the neighbors to people who saw the White Dog as a special destination for an anniversary dinner or whatever. But our prices were competitive with Center City restaurants out in the University of Pennsylvania area. We probably were the most expensive restaurant in the area, so it was not a place, as I mentioned, that the students would go every day for dinner. But when their parents were in town, that was the destination. And a lot of our customers drove to the restaurant in West Philadelphia from Center City and the suburbs because of the quality of our food. It was our popularity, our high sales, that made us most profitable. And I think that people came to the White Dog not just because they were hungry, but because they wanted to be a part of something bigger than themselves. You know, they wanted to be a part of the food revolution. They really liked the idea that we were the only business in Pennsylvania, and when we first did this, that had switched to 100% renewable energy. So people, having these good practices was part of the draw of the White Dog. Even though we might not make, if we were charging, I don't know, say $25 for a steak, and our competitor in a wealthier part of Philadelphia, say, was charging the same amount or even more, we might not make as much per steak because we were paying for grass-fed local steak, which might be somewhat higher than the industrial agriculture system where restaurants just order from a major distributor and everything is shipped in from Omaha or whatever. You know, but we made up for making less per dish because we had organic or breastfed or whatever by the volume of the many people who came there because of those things. At the time, there was no one that was committed solely to serving only animal products from small farms, you know, pastured pork, grass-fed beef, free-range chickens and eggs, and also sustainably caught seafood. It was another thing that we were known for, rather than seafood that was caught with the big nets where there's a lot of bycatch and harm done to the oceans. We bought only from fishermen who used single lines to catch their fish, and we never sold anything that was endangered, as swordfish was for a while, or Chilean sea bass continues to be endangered. We avoided all those fish. So that was another thing that our customers could count on us for. They felt safe eating at the White Dog because they knew we had very high standards in what we purchased.
As I noted, the title of your address that you will give at Western Michigan University is Building a New Economy. What's love got to do with it? Well, what does love have to do with a new economy?
Well, I really feel that, first of all, that there's urgency in developing a new economy that does work in harmony with nature, and that's fair because we have a rising inequality problem in this country. So, and I feel in order to make this transition to a new economy that's sustainable and fair, that we need to make decisions as business people, investors, and consumers with a balance of head and heart. And I feel like our consumer society has really hardened us and closed our hearts down when it comes to economics. But we've been taught that we should, you know, fight for the lowest price, you know, that we should fight for the highest return on our investment, that we measure our success through money. How little can we pay? How much can we make? And we don't really take into consideration other factors.
So is it easy or convenient relatively for consumers, if they're interested in doing their part on their end, to know which products are the best to buy in terms of being sustainable, in terms of being the sort of things that support sound business practices, support sustainability, support local businesses?
Well, it's not always easy, and that is certainly a problem. It depends on where you live. As far as food goes, the safest thing is to buy at farmers markets, where you can buy directly from the farmer. And, you know, they have eggs and meat and produce at most farmers markets now. It's not just fruits and vegetables. In Philadelphia, at least, we have farmers markets that are year-round, where you can buy things like cheese and eggs and meat and animal products from small farmers year-round. So that's probably the most sure way, is to buy directly from farmers. But in the grocery store, there are some labels that I believe and some I don't. When it comes to eggs, there's some fake companies out there that they call themselves the Friendly Farm or whatever, but they're just an industrial operation that treats the hens in a cruel way. So I think it's hard for a lot of consumers to figure out what to buy. I mean, I always look for fair trade labels, you know, whether it's coffee or chocolate. That's pretty strong in most places now. You can get fair trade coffee and chocolate. And then I think, you know, there are also new developments that are helping with labeling. And one of them is something called a B Corporation. And if you're a B Corporation, which stands for Benefit Corporation, then you can trust a company that's a B Corp to have these values, because they're put through a evaluation system that rates their practices, from environmental practices to workplace practices and so on. And you have to have a certain rating to be certified as a B Corporation. So that is helpful, too, to the consumer and also to the investor. If you're looking to invest your money in a company that you can believe in, if a company is certified as a corporation, then you can feel safe in investing in that company as well as purchasing.
Judy Wicks, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Judy Wicks will give the keynote address for Western Michigan University's celebration of National Campus Sustainability Day on Thursday. You can find more details about that and other events involving Judy Wicks at Western Michigan University at WMUK.org.